Why don't we finish out with the issue of limited stage disease? So when you were talking before about the various options with limited stage disease, as you went through that, I was thinking in my own mind, of course, every patient is individual, but generically, how do you approach the woman versus the man, the younger woman versus younger man with limited stage disease? And without getting into all the details about this 21-year-old woman, maybe kind of summarize the bottom line of what happened to her and kind of how you approach patients like her and how it differs if it's a man.
Yeah, so I think early stage disease, as I mentioned earlier, we have a variety of different platforms now. But I think in females, particularly those with mediastinal disease, there are considerations not only for curing the cancer, but also for minimizing their long-term risks. Because they are at higher risk for breast cancer, this becomes an important consideration when you talk about radiation therapy. You know, when I look at a patient who's young, I think it's important to consider not only where the disease is, but their outcomes from therapy with or without radiation, and their age, of course, as well. So in young patients in whom I'm concerned about hitting substantial breast tissue or heart, we have a discussion about whether we consider radiation therapy or chemotherapy alone. And, you know, there are now several studies, the RAPID study, the H10 study, and as I mentioned, even the RAFL study that looked at early stage disease. In the studies that try to omit radiation, I think what's consistently clear is that omitting radiation does increase the potential risk of a recurrence of the Hodgkin's lymphoma. And this is not a 20 or 30% increase, but anywhere from a 5 to 15% increase based on which study you look at and in which setting. There's no right or wrong answer, but the question is how much risk are you willing to take in that setting for the potential benefit down the line of avoiding secondary malignancies and cardiovascular disease and associated complications. So while a male has a lower incidence of breast cancer, he also still has lungs, he still has a heart, and these are all considerations I take into account in terms of when I talk to a male as well as a female, particularly in those patients who have disease in their chest. Those with largely axillary or cervical disease, then the avoidance of radiation, while still important, doesn't affect the risk necessarily of breast cancer or heart disease and may be more palatable in those patients. When I sit down with a young person, I do suggest that while there's an increase in relapse rate with avoidance of radiation, there's no difference in survival. And the vast majority of patients will be cured whether they receive radiation or they receive chemotherapy. And based on their imaging studies, one may consider anywhere between 3 to 6 cycles of therapy, as well as when you consider their risk stratification as to favorable and unfavorable. So I sit down with the patient, I consider where their disease is, I consider their risk profile, whether they have favorable disease or unfavorable disease, and then we have a frank discussion about the benefits of radiation, which largely include tumor control, but not survival, versus omission of radiation and chemotherapy, which have the benefits of avoiding secondary malignancies and cardiovascular toxicity with some loss of tumor control without a survival disadvantage. And the lack of survival disadvantage is largely based on the fact that these patients can be salvaged in the second line setting. So the majority of my patients after this discussion have used radiation, I would say, less and less. But in this young female who had a multi-station disease, so she had more than 3 sites of nodal disease, which makes her high risk. Though she did not have bulk, we had this discussion, and after 2 cycles of ABVD chemotherapy, she was PET negative. Based on our discussion, she was inclined to pursue chemotherapy alone and avoid radiation. Radiation has a higher rate of secondary malignancy and other toxicities the younger you are. So the risk is slightly different for someone who's over the age of 35, as opposed to someone who's 19 or 21, like this person. So based on all of those factors, she elected to receive 6 cycles of chemotherapy because she has early unfavorable Hodgkin's lymphoma based on nodal sites.
Why 6 cycles when she was PET negative after 2?
Yeah, so there are 2 studies, And the one that specifically addressed favorable versus unfavorable was the H10 study. It is also the study that has the best control arm of the group. And when they looked at unfavorable disease, they were treated with 6 cycles of therapy. And so I tend to follow that paradigm in my patients, though you could argue for 4 cycles based on the RAPID study as well. But I felt that she had slightly higher risk disease. It's important to note in the RAPID study, the vast majority of patients would have been considered favorable in the H10 study. So over 2/3 of patients, or roughly 2/3 of patients, if you use the EORTC criteria for prognostication, would have been considered favorable. So there was different populations being addressed in these two studies. And the RAPID study also counted PET negativity to be Deauville 1 or 2. And in my practice, Deauville 1, 2, or 3 are typically considered PET negative. So there are slight variations between all these studies that make it, frankly, very complicated. But in general, based on the H10 study, I would offer this patient 6 cycles of therapy.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Hodgkin Lymphoma Update.